You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps, in line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
This is CBS High in the World. I'm John Batchelor with Professor Richard Epstein of the Hoover Institution, writing at Defining Ideas about the case that is pending before the Supreme Court, Roe v. Wade, to be decided, but not yet. However, in the meantime, demonstrations, appearances of large groups of activists around the homes of the justices introduces the question of intimidation of the court. Is there a remedy to intimidation of the court somehow in the political process? And Richard, you've already touched on two of the suggested remedies, increasing the number of justices so that there's more diversity or there's more of a mixed opinion. And then there are two term limits of justices. You've already touched on that. Are either of those practical ideas in the heat of this moment?
Look, I think the increasing of the number of the justices would so change the mechanics of the court that it would be a very dangerous situation. But I think term limits is something which allows you to have the courts, their current operations, proceed exactly as they do today, which for the most part have been reasonably successful. And so that's something which should be explored. As I mentioned earlier, it's going to take a constitutional amendment to achieve because we have lifetime tenure. One of these decisions that were made by the framers of the Constitution, which in retrospect, they should have come to regret. But there it is, and we have to kind of live with it.
All right, let's move to the political process. Yeah. It has been suggested over many decades that voting in Supreme Court justices is a remedy to influence peddling in some fashion, either a direct popular vote or a vote by the state legislatures to endorse, improve, or in some way respond to a presidential decision about a court. Are either of those practical?
I think the answer is clearly no to both of them. I don't think there's anything wrong with the process except the people who run it. And if it turns out that this is a function of political malaise of one kind or another, moving it into a larger political unit is not going to get rid of the malaise or the corruption. It's only going to make it more intensified. You want to run a nationwide election for a Supreme Court justice. You're going to have to figure out who are going to be the candidates. How do they campaign? Do they have any money that they can bring to their disposal? Is it going to be done through the Electoral College or is it going to be done by a popular vote? We've had direct elections of judicial offices in the states, and it meets with mixed results. But that's a single state, then the position is not nearly as important. Can you imagine a situation where you try to do this and then you have to have a recount? I don't want any part of that system. State legislatures, it's going to be the same problem that you have with the U.S. Senate to some extent, which is if you do it that way, the North Dakota has the same weight as California, which is, of course, what happens in the other area. Not going to be ideal. Now you're going to have 50 legislative battles in each state over this particular situation. There's nothing which says that you can only have one candidate who's going to be presented. And the moment you start getting multiple candidates presented, you can have all sorts of other things that go on. And the whole point of this process is the president gets to choose a candidate, so you only have one. And then there's a veto power. And it's a very delicate balance, but not a corrupt one. What the Senate can do is to reject somebody, but they can't appoint anybody, which means that if you reject somebody who's kind of a little bit undesirable, you may get something who's even worse coming down the next row. And so usually you can start to work this thing out. The system went without a hitch pretty much for a very long time. The first time there was actually some real tension about this, whether, you know, apart from other cases, was the whole situation with respect to Louis Brandeis and the Jewish issue. There have been other cases before that. But if you want to figure out what the real change is, just compare the nomination of Antonin Scalia in 1986, where he got 98 votes and none against, two absent, to the vote for Robert Bork the next year, where the politics all of a sudden came out, and the vote was 50 against and 42 in favor. You can see what the enormous shift was, and the nature of the rhetoric has changed. We've had a little bit better and a little bit worse. The Democratic nominees in general, Kagan and so forth, and Breyer and Ginsburg, have done a little bit better than the Republican nominees. even with respect to Alito and with respect to Roberts, there was some kind of upset. And then it reaches, you know, these frantic levels, particularly with Justice Kavanaugh, ebbs a little bit with respect to Justice Barrett and so forth. I don't think you can change the process to improve the situation. What you have to do is understand that it takes a certain degree of comedy, civility, sensibility of tradition to run this stuff. And what has happened now is every race is seen as though it's the last.
We have a minute, Richard.
The great problem that we have today is every one of these elections now, people just bring out all the heavy artillery that they possibly can. And so when the tide is reversed the next time around, exactly the same thing happened. And the only way you can kind of stop that is for people to basically temper their results and to be a little bit calm. And one of the ironies of all this is that you look back at the decision of the Republicans not to give a hearing to Merrick Garland. The really important feature of that was that you didn't get to beat him up personally. You just decided that we don't want a Democrat in office, and it doesn't have to be a character assassination attack. And I do think that we have to try to get some kind of comedy. But the pessimistic view is once this genie gets out of the bottle, it's very hard to put it back in again.
Professor Richard Epstein, a senior fellow at the Hoover Institution. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino?
Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto.
I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Lots of places can expose you to identity theft. That's why LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. If we find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, we alert you right away, all through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Save up to 30% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.